This Advent season, we have been reflecting on songs of the season. On the first Sunday, with a carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, we thought about our own Bethlehem-like life. Little, ordinary, but also with the stories of our ancestors and stories of God's promise. Then on the second Sunday, we honored many angels around us and in our lives. Then we sang the angel hymn to God, Gloria. What did I say about this way of singing a song? Like singing one syllable, extending it to hit the multiple notes. This is what? Melismatic way to sing. Oh, Gloria. Okay. Then it was well-fitting theme to the Christmas cantata Sunday with the angelic voices from the cantata choir. Then last Sunday, on the third Sunday of Advent, our focus was on the Song of Mary called Magnificat, which derives from the very first word in the first line of her song in Luke chapter 1. In the Latin translations, it reads, Magnificat mania mea dominum. So literally, my soul praises the Lord. It was a song of all Marys who are deemed lowly, simple, undistinguished by the standards of this success and power-driven world. Today, on the final Sunday of Advent, I'd like to, rather than being focused on one carol, I'd like to incorporate several carols, perhaps inviting you to sing with me and draw our attention to a certain phrase in each carol. And I'd like to do this with the help of Reverend James Howell's book, Why This Jubilee? It is the book that we chose for our small group study this Advent season. Before I introduce the first carol for our reflection today, let me begin by sharing one thought that has preoccupied my mind this season and actually made me be in awe and wonder. It is that God came down in the body of a baby. Okay, the waiting was over. In the fullness of time, God decided to come down to the earth to keep the promise of a Savior, to let the whole world know that God has not given up on God's people. Something big, something spectacular, fabulous, world-shaking was about to occur, and God was about to do it. With such expectations, the world was ready to welcome the arrival of our Savior. Then here I am curious. If you or the Most High God committed to sending a Savior to the world, how would you introduce the Savior to the people? What would your Savior look like? Would he be a mighty warrior of magnificent physique, ready to crush evildoers in any second? Would your sent Savior be a smart wealth manager to make everyone rich and happy? A Savior could be female. If you are the Most High God, would you send the Savior who would first become a respected teacher or a best-selling lady of letters? Or a very successful philanthropist? On Christmas Eve, our 6 p.m. service will be open with a skit performed by 4 youth members with a special child. The synopsis of the skit is the self-appointed group of people meets together to give God advice on how to save and run the world. And come and see whose opinion you would support. Of course, we know what God decided to do. God decided to come down in the body of a baby. God voluntarily became small for us in the Christ child. One thing we see for sure is that God's way is different from ours in many places. But more than anything else, we see here that God came as something that each one of us once was. Small, vulnerable, dependent child. There is no one who was not in that stage of a human life. This way, perhaps in the birth of the Christ child, a message of God that applies to all of us is that we are known to God. We are known to God. As the beloved carol, "O Holy Night," which I will come back to later in this reflection, has this lyric, "He appeared and the soul felt its worth." Everyone is of sacred worth. No one is an exception because God joined God's own self to our shared humanity. Again, God became a baby, which was what everyone was. By coming to us and becoming one of us, God assured all of us that no one is excluded from the good news of Christmas. It's for all. Truly, all that we are with our humanity is known to God. The Christ child was truly human and truly divine. This wonderful and perfect union of the divine and human natures in Jesus is what Christmas hymns have tried to depict, like the popular carol, "Away in a Manger." So, yes, just to join me in singing "Away in a Manger." If you need the lyrics, so then please, you can use the screen or hymnal on page 217. Let's sing it.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus hid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Lying down is a posture of trust. God in Jesus chose to be vulnerable and relying on Mother Mary's love and Father Joseph's protection. And we still wonder, as we find this lyric in the hymn, "What Child Is This?" Why did he lie in such a mean, humble state? He's Christ the King, isn't it? But in the Christ child, we see that God, King of Kings, doesn't overpower, never manipulate, or coerces, or intimidate. That's why he laid down in the manger. And for the same reason, he laid down his life on the cross, and he laid down in the tomb. And we know that that's not the way that the story ends. Now, sing with me the second stanza of "Away in a Manger" with me.
The carol hallowing the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh.
To be honest, I don't agree with the writer of the lyrics here, right? You imagine Jesus not even crying? Surely he did. He cried, right? Again, shared our humanity. God became a baby to become like us. We cry, so Jesus cried. Babies cry, so the Christ child cried. It's the sign of life and vitality. It's a declaration to the world that, hey, I have arrived. And we read in the Bible that Jesus cried, not just in the cradle. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. Here, I help you memorize one Bible verse. Now, after this service, you know one more Bible verse that you can memorize. The shortest one. It's John 11:35. Jesus wept. That's the shortest one. and he wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. And here, I give you a bonus. I'd like to encourage you to memorize the following verse, which is another short one. Then the people said, "See how he loved his friend." Jesus probably still weeps over us since he loves us so much. Reverend Howell says in his book, Jesus' very name is a cry. The Hebrew Yeshua means help, save. A mother in the intense agony of childbirth would cry out, "Yeshua, Yeshua." Did Mary? Yes. Surely the pain was intense, this delivery of a new life. Mary cried out, and Jesus cried out. And in that scream in the dark, help dawned for us. Jesus, this Yeshua, is the answer to the cry of humanity across the ages. He can help, and he does help. Yeshua. Christ's vulnerability has a great power because it's the power of love. Thus, as his love is vivid and powerful on the cross, so is in the cradle. Love won at the cross, and that love came down at Christmas. So we sing in the third stanza of Love Came Down at Christmas, love shall be our talk, love be yours and love be mine, love to God and all men, love for plea and gift and sign. In the message of Christmas, actually in the whole message of God in Christ Jesus, it's crystal clear that love is a sign directing us to God, and love is a gift of God, and love is plea. In other words, an order. God's vulnerability in the Christ child tells us that God seeks love. God calls for love. Here, there is another carol that teaches us the message that love is a sign, gift, and plea, and it is all holy night. And understandably, it is not in our hymnal. Why do I say it's understandable that it's not in our hymnal? Because it's too high to common people to sing, like you and me, right? Oh, night, deep, right? No, we cannot go there. Actually, in singing the carol, most of us set a standard based on how fantastically lovely it was sung by Mariah Carey, but we will not do it, right? So I felt I shouldn't attempt to sing it, but only to read the part of the lyrics to which I'd like to draw your attention. But surprisingly, my wife, Jung Jin, encouraged me to consider singing it. To my surprise, she clarified what she meant by saying, "Don't sing it solo, but sing it with the congregation, and make sure that you lower one key." Okay. It's the third stanza of O Holy Night that I'd like to highlight from this beautiful, lovely, powerful song, as the lyrics teach us about love. And I, again, read it now, or we will sing it later. "Truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love." On this lyric, Reverend Howell shares his reflection, I quote, "Law and love are totally different from each other. Law is something we must do. We have no choice. The consequences are dire if we violate the law. Love has no must about it. Love happens or it doesn't. It's unenforceable. Love is a personal, emotional, rewarding, but risky. Law is a chilly, impersonal, reliable, but no fun. What Jesus taught us about love is not what the world teaches. Love is not a mood that flares and subsides, but a commitment we make.
A commitment we make even to people nobody else will go near, to our enemies, to the ones who have hurt us. Can love be commanded? It has been and is, at least by Jesus. And I end his quotes by reading Jesus' words in John 13, verse 34. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Love came down at Christmas, and this love is a sign, gift, and plea, a commandment. It is in love that God joined God's divine, perfect, free self to our human, finite, enslaved selves. And it is said in one of my favorite Advent quotes, which is attributed to a second century saint Irenaeus of Lyon or to Saint Athanasius of the first century. God became what we are so that we might become what he is. Jesus became our brother so we might become members of our royal family. God became a vulnerable baby so our own vulnerability can be clothed in God's power of love, powerful enough to urge us to respond to this plea. On the holy night Christ was born, he came to teach us to love, to show us love in the flesh, and to set us free, and to lead us on the path so we can become the people God wants us to be. So all this is summarized in this. We were made by love, and we were made for love. Love came down at Christmas. God came down to love, to enable, encourage, and empower us to love. So it's a sweet hymns of joy we raise in grateful chorus and proclaim. So I just said one part of the lyrics of the O Holy Night, which I now invite you to sing with me. Okay, let's try, right? The third stanza of this beautiful hymn.
Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppressions will cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord.
Again, I invite you to our Christmas Eve celebrations, and also on Christmas Day. That way, let us continue to be in this worshipful mood of this season.